about it, I can't imagine what would happen to my self-esteem. You know, you got people doing that enough, standing at a mailbox, licking an envelope, and having someone ask if you need help. My spit apparently isn't good enough for my envelope. I need some assistance with that. But, you know, it does tend to wear on one. And I think that this is the reason why this organization needs to be here, and the reason why it needs you. Not just, boy, I'm trying to learn it all myself, what can I do? Well, you being here, you are going to give back. Because what you take from, what changes your life about your attitude that we get from the National Federation of the Blind and the Canadian Federation of the Blind as well, is something that gives you so much energy, you just have to give it back. It's an exciting thing, and it is, for me, to see this group of people here has been so rewarding. Everybody's going, oh, we're so glad you came. Yeah, me too. This has been a great experience, and this is the last you're going to have to hear from me this weekend. Thank you very much.
This process of assessing when to not do something and let people do it, and when to do it yourself, it never stops. It never stops, and it's a constant assessment. And I remember we have four children, and we have a lot of birthday parties. In our house, and when we had younger children, of course we would have to cut the ice cream cake. And I don't know if you cutting ice cream cake, you gotta touch it. It's kind of it can be mushy, you know. But you got to get the pieces so that they're, you know, about equal sizes and hopefully the same shape, right?
Yeah.
And you got to deal with the candles and, you know, Mary Ellen and I did all that. And then as the children got older, we sort of taught them how to do it and stuff. And now we sort of just expect that Joanne or Jeffrey will do it, but we might surprise.
We could talk about, computer technology is a biggie, and it's vital to every single person who's having an education, never mind blind students. But if you've got your computers with your speech software and your braille printers and your scanners and you've got all your word processing, then you create independence and you enhance your braille literacy, and you're preparing for the future. Because just about any job you can think of in the future is going to encompass computers somehow. And you're opening the doors and you're enabling access to information like never before. And I have to say here, it's actually quite ironic because it was 10 years ago last summer that we received, because back then, everybody knows computers were way more expensive back then, and I remember our computer package was $7,900. And it was just, it was just staggering. We had the Victoria Imperial Lions Club in Oriano generously donated us this first computer. And it's so amazing because if they had not had that first computer, then my two sons would not be computer programming and doing computer software, and they would not be the businessmen that they are now. Like, their whole success in all the computers is from that one simple little first computer that we got 10 years ago. So, I mean, technology was just had a profound effect on their futures, incalculable. So our recommendation then would be for this one specific area would be for funding to be reallocated so that a greater portion would go into the technology and the training for that same technology, and a lesser portion would be on the support staff, because blind kids should be allowed to be independent and they shouldn't need all of this help to do everything. So that would be that. Okay, so now our third purpose here would be to encourage a model of service delivery. Staff and students must realize that a common sense approach to blindness can accomplish far more than a complex service delivery system that overestimates the deficits and underestimates the potential of blind children. From birth to adulthood, we must change what it means to be blind, encouraging normal growth and development throughout and removing the intervention approach to learning. Emphasis must be placed on the normalcy of blindness for children of all ages. If mobility and orientation instructors and vision teachers provide the others with the necessary information about blindness in a practical way, and if we implement programs that facilitate input from competent blind adults, then blind students can only flourish in a supportive, can-do environment of normalcy. In the case of blindness, blind children are normal children, and all blind adults are normal adults. And programs must be implemented at every level of development that support that philosophy. In this way, we can minimize the burden on special education services while maximizing the potential of blind students. In the education of blind children, more is definitely not better.
One instructor, that the parent is the first teacher of the blind child, and that we want to implement workshops specifically geared